for your word, and we pray you speak to us today. We think of our students who are headed back to school, opening a new chapter of their life. Bethany and Becca, Father, Hannah, Sam. Father, we pray for Nicole as she heads down to ISU. Go before her, make a way for her. We pray for Josh, who will be here. And Father, for the names that are slipping my mind right now. Father, I pray that you would bless our students and give them a great year at school. We pray it in your name. Amen. Well, when we started this series on Agents of Change, the creative team got together, and the original idea was hospitality. Just seeing that hospitality is something that's important, it's biblical, but we also felt that it wasn't broad enough for a whole series. So this is really the message that kind of got the whole thing started. So I want to talk about hospitality. I was walking out of someone's home that I've been to before with some other people that I know. And they commented on how good the food was, but they also made the observation that they didn't feel welcome. And that really struck me. Because you can go to somebody's house and it can be a picture-perfect setting. But what makes you feel welcome? What makes you feel like they really want me to be here? In a bigger way, God has called us to be hosts for the kingdom of God, to show hospitality. And part of that is that if we're loved, then we can love other people. If we have hope, we can give hope to other people. And the opposite is true as well. If we don't feel loved, if we're not loved, well, we're not really going to have love to offer other people. But this whole area of hospitality, I think, is not just a periphery thing. And also, some of you are just like, yep, my wife's good at that, so I don't have to be. Guess you use stupid guy voice and you can say anything you want like that, okay? The Bible will show us that it's not just something that women do, that men are to be hospitable as well. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to share about five passages of Scripture. There's seven in the New Testament that use the word hospitality, depending upon the version of Scripture that you look at. Now, it starts out, the writer of Hebrews, and I don't know who it is. I don't think it's the Apostle Paul. It doesn't really matter to me. It's anointed. It's the Word of God. It's cool. Okay. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. It's a conscious choice that we make to keep loving. Are there some days you get out of bed in the morning and you just say, today is not the day I'm loving anybody. I want everyone to love me. You try that. I don't think you're going to have a good day. We make the choice consciously to keep on loving. And don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. We're going to take a look at a passage in Genesis, and it may even be more than angels that they were entertaining. We need to show hospitality to strangers. I'm going to talk about it a little bit. On this trip, I encountered a lot of people. Stayed at several different hotels. Hotels are part of the what industry? Yeah, the hospitality industry. Oh, and some were very hospitable. Oh, and one was not. But we'll get there. What does it go on to say? So we're supposed to practice hospitality, show hospitality, and then amazing. It says, think about folks who are in prison. See, I think this is part of the heart of hospitality. Put yourself in somebody else's shoes. If you were in their shoes, how would you want to be treated? That's how you should treat somebody else. Remember those in prison. Now, some of you are like, whoa, whoa, preacher. People are in prison because they did something wrong. Usually, but not always. But I don't think this is saying, oh, okay, if you've got a brother or sister in Christ who's imprisoned. No, it's saying for somebody who's at that lowest point in their life, hopefully that's the lowest point, you be the source of grace to the person at their lowest point. But they did so. Don't worry what they did wrong. That's between them and God. You be the agent of change and show hospitality to that person who's in prison as if it were you yourself that were there. Remember also those being mistreated, whatever the context is. And that'll preach in America today. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. So part of hospitality is you put yourself in somebody else's shoes to feel what they feel. and then you do for them what you would want someone to do for you. So hospitality is more than just having people over for a luncheon. I mean, that's a fantastic expression of hospitality. But there's all sorts of little ones, and we're going to cover some of those. And the Holy Spirit's going to talk to some of you here today about some different things that you can do. One of my favorite expressions of hospitality, of something that was unexpected, was Senator Mark Hatfield from Oregon often battled Richard Nixon politically. But when Nixon resigned and went into hiding as a recluse at his place in San Clemente, history records that there was one man who went to visit him, and it was Mark Hatfield. And it wasn't his friend. You wouldn't have thought that they were friends. And somebody asked Hatfield, well, why did you go visit Nixon? His response was, he needed to know that someone loved him. Hatfield was able to put himself in Richard Nixon's shoes. And see, here's what a lot of us will do is say, yeah, but I never would do what Nixon did. I wouldn't be in that position. See, that's that self-righteous church position that we put ourselves in, isn't it? That's not in my notes, folks. That's the Holy Spirit talking to some of us here. We put ourselves in this position and say, well, I would never do that, so I don't have to care about that person. We need to be careful about the things that we say that we would never, ever do. Mark Hatfield just looked at Richard Nixon and just said, if that was me, man, I'd want someone to show that they hadn't forgotten me and they still cared about me. So let's take a look at this Old Testament passage, Genesis chapter 18. Abraham has been promised that he's going to be the father of multitudes. He doesn't have any kids. He's 90. Sarah thinks the whole thing's pretty funny. We're going to have kids. Sure. So here we go. The Lord appeared again to Abraham near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. One day Abraham was sitting at the entrance to his tent during the hottest part of the day. He looked up and noticed three men standing nearby. Now, see, a lot of people think that these are angels, but it just says at the beginning, the Lord appeared again to Abraham. So Abraham, in the Old Testament, says was a friend of God. So he has this relationship with God that's unique, the same kind of relationship that you can have with God. Because your relationship with God, God wants a unique one with you. He doesn't want you to have the same relationship with God that I do. My wife has a different relationship with God than I do. It's unique. The same as friendships are unique. Now, there are things that are similar. But I just want to affirm that it's not like it's this one size fits all. So when the writer of Hebrews says that some have entertained angels, some have entertained God. So how does Abraham meet his guests? Well, you know, I hear there's a Motel 6 down the road, and it's kind of hot. I think they got some air conditioning. They can take care of you down there. He looked up and noticed the three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran to meet them and welcomed them, bowing low to the ground. You know, there's a lot of examples in the Old Testament of this kind of cultural hospitality, and it's a little foreign to us. And we're going to read some things like, you probably don't do that when people come to your house. Run out in the driveway, bow down before them. They might not feel as welcome as you think, okay? They might feel it's a little bit too much. If it's not too much for them, well, that's a whole other story. Okay, let's move ahead to verse 3. And we're going to see in this passage that it cost Abraham something to be hospitable. It wasn't just like, well, you know, come on over, stay at my place. My Lord, he said, if it pleases you, stop here for a while. They didn't ask to stay. He wanted them to stay. That's one of the things we're going to talk about. We are talking about hospitality. You make someone feel welcome. I know you can't control how somebody else feels, but you can do a lot of things to help them feel a certain way. I think these guys felt welcome because he says, if it pleases you, stop here for a while. I want you to be here. That's the heart of hospitality. I want you to be here with me. Rest in the shade of this tree while water is brought to wash your feet. And since you've honored your servant with this visit, let me prepare some food to refresh you before you continue on your journey. And they said, all right, do as you have said. Sounds pretty good. They didn't say, like, I don't know why he's so hospitable, but they're open to it. So he sent for Boston Market to get some food. No, he did a little bit better than that. Wait till you see what he does for food. Let's move ahead in the passage. So Abraham ran back to the, you get the verb there? He ran. He's like, Sarah, hurry, get 3 large measures of your best flour, knead it into dough, and make some bread. Then Abraham ran out to the herd and chose a tender calf and gave it to his servant who quickly prepared it. He picks the fatted calf, the best one that he has, for his guests. Let's finish it up here. When the food was ready, Abraham took some yogurt and milk and the roasted meat, and he served it to the men. As they ate, Abraham waited on them in the shade of the trees. Some of you are thinking, man, I'd like to visit Abraham sometime. It's a pretty good deal. There's a lot more that happens in this passage, but I want to focus just a little bit on the hospitality. He offered rest, shade, water, a wash-up. He killed the best animal that he had, and he did it for strangers. Now, I think that he recognized that this was a heavenly visitor. But the thing I also want you to know is that how he treated his guests, I think he would have treated someone who had no status the same way. And do you know what? God fulfilled his dreams. Abraham lived to see Isaac born. He lived to see Isaac mature. God fulfilled. What are your dreams, folks? What are the dreams that you want to see in the land of the living? I know that some of us, as we grow older, we've got dreams and visions for children, for grandchildren, for friends' kids, all kinds of people. And we won't see the end to every story. But God wants to allow you to see many of your dreams come true on this side. Okay, so a lot of us are probably not going to have a calf to kill, all right? But, you know, food, there's something about food. There's a certain nationality of people. They really like to serve up food. What nationality is that? Everybody. Italians. Okay, I didn't want to have to say it myself. And in my notes, I guess I'd get Pam to say it. That's, I knew you would. So, my stepmom was Italian. Oh my goodness. Food. There are times that my dad had to say, her name's Loretta. He'd call her Lore. He's like, Lore, my son is trying to say no politely. I mean, like, I used to joke that she should have had a dentist's chair. You just lean back and just pile it in. My dad said the first time that he had dinner with Loretta's family, and our family, we're Greek and Irish and Jewish, whatever we are, I don't know. But we love pasta. My dad and I love pasta. And so they bring out pasta, and he eats a big plate full of pasta, and these Italians are all just like, man, you can pack it away. And he's like, oh, that's nothing. Well, he didn't realize that was just the first course. And then they bring out the beef and the chicken and the sausage and everything else. And then he realized he'd made a horrible mistake because he was missing out on everything else. Here's the thing. Some of you are going to say, look, we're not Italian. We don't cook all this food. You don't have to kill the fatted calf. There's a lot of ways to make people feel welcome in your home. There's a lot of ways to make people feel welcome and good at work, at church, other places. You don't have to do just that. Okay, let's take a look at Romans chapter 12, verse 13. It has a word in here that I think is really great with hospitality. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Be looking for the opportunity. When a need arises, and folks, we've got a church where there's a lot of you that are that way. A need comes up and you're like, man, I want to do something about that. You're ready. You're ready to pounce on it. Why? Because you're eager to practice hospitality. Now here's the truth. You got to practice hospitality. Nobody's perfect at it. You're going to make some mistakes. Sometimes maybe you go a little bit too much out of your way. But it's better to do something than nothing. And it's not just based on what people want. It's based on what they need. Do stuff for people. People who are in need. So I said earlier that a lot of us guys are kind of like, well, you know, it's my wife's gift. It's not my gift. But I really do think that it's my wife's gift. And I've learned some things from her. I'm just going to give some highlights. If you're embarrassed, you can just stick your fingers in your ear or something like that. But So if you have people over to your house, and this isn't the only kind of hospitality, we'll touch on some other forms of hospitality, but you know, it's really good to greet people at the door. I mean, sometimes you come up to the door is open, you hear people inside, but you're not sure, are we supposed to walk in? And you know what? I think most people understand, and I try to do this, if I'm talking to someone, the doorbell rings, somebody walks in, I can say, excuse me. They understand it's my house, and I need to welcome people there. And then you need to let them know what to do with their coat and their wallet. And the wallets are really, really important. Make sure the wallets are in the coats when you... No, I'm just kidding. That's not in the notes. So, because I think people, that just makes people feel like, oh, okay. And then where do you want me to go? Sometimes you walk into somebody's house, you're in the front hall, and you don't really know where to go. You've never been there before. There's no road map. They took your coat, they took your wallet, they got your car keys, and now you don't know where to go. Just a simple roadmap. It's like, oh, people are in the family room or they're in the kitchen. Here's another one. Then you see people walking around with something to drink. Well, can I get something to drink or do you have to pay for it? I mean, what's the story? Let them know. Oh, and there's something to drink over here and there's some appetizers here and there's desserts in the dining room. And here's another great thing, especially if you see a person looking like, you know, deer headlight, that kind of thing, and they don't seem real comfortable. Introduce them to somebody else. Maybe they don't know everybody there as well as you do. It's a really good thing to connect someone to somebody else. And then when they leave, let them know you're really glad that they were there. And do you know what? I think if you do those things and it comes from your heart, they're not going to walk out saying, man, the food is really great, but I didn't feel welcome there. If you ever walked into somebody's house and the host is sitting on a sofa talking to someone and you have wandered in the front door, hung up your coat on a hook somewhere, no one told you what to do with it, everybody else seems to be having a good time, the host is sitting there just pretty much ignoring you. It happens. But it shouldn't happen with God's people. And that's just like formal kind of stuff. That's when you have people over. There's all sorts of informal ways where we can help people feel welcome. We need, as a church, to stop waiting for somebody else to invite us, and we need to do the inviting. See, if you're going to come to my house, I know it's my house, you know it's my house, so it's up to me to welcome you. Folks, if this is your church, this is your house. And when people come here, you need to welcome them. You need to make sure that they know where to hang up their coat, where they can find something to eat, and where they can have a seat. This is your house. And you know what? This is God's world, and it's His kingdom, and we need to be hosts to God's world and God's kingdom. And it can be done in some of the simplest little ways. So I said that I made a little inventory of the hospitality industry on my trip because I had this message in mind all week. So we got to Buffalo Run, and I met Marshall there. And, you know, he's the 74-year-old guy that told me to go to the Alpine Pass. Oh, you got to do it. Absolutely the best hike. But he'd never done it, never intended on doing it. But you know how I got to know Marshall? We'd gotten our menus. We sat there for a little while. Our menus were closed. Other people were being served. And I didn't make eye contact with him, but he's right there. I didn't know he's the owner. He came over and he said, can I get a drink order? He recognized that no one had taken care of us. Do you know what? People who are hospitable, they notice sometimes what other people don't. Now, we had a really friendly server. She was Ukrainian. She was a lot of fun, but she was a little bit slow getting to the table. The first place we stayed, it was this little hotel. Oh, I don't remember the name of it. 8 units, no air conditioning. It's normally only like 70 degrees there. They have these big screen doors. But they said there's this fire pit out there and there's this pagoda and you go out there at night. I said, okay. They were very nice. The second night, after hearing some people out there singing songs out of the pagoda, and I'd seen these guys, they're mostly from New York, I decided to go back there and join them. So there's 4 guys. And I said, are you guys, is there some blood here? And the 2 younger guys, no, we're just friends and our dads. I said, well, I think that qualifies as blood. Those are your fathers. Okay, I'll explain it to you later. I think they were your people, Mike. They love Simon and Garfunkel. They're New York kind of people. I mentioned a song, and they play the song I mentioned for Emily wherever I may find her. And anyway, just had a really good time. They're very hospitable. They welcomed me into their circle, into their tribe. They offered me whiskey and rye. I'm like, what is it? Like American pie? You know, bye-bye, Miss America. Good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye. I was a little curious on the rye, but I passed on it. I've never tasted rye, but I did. They offered me Ben and Jerry's ice cream, their very own, out of their own pint. I felt welcomed into their circle. I became one of them as we sat around the campfire. It was a good experience. Went to a gas station in town, got my sandwich for hiking, but they didn't have any mustard. I was out in the car, and I said to Craig, they didn't have any mustard. And Heidi's laughing at me because she calls me sauce man, because I love flavors and I load stuff up. And then I remembered on the counter, not in a packet, there's this horseradish sauce. So I'd already asked a young lady for a couple things. She was very friendly. I went back in and I said, do you have a little container? I see you have some horseradish sauce. And she like rushes behind there. Yes, I've got that. She fills it up. It's a week later and I'm still talking about it. Why? Because when I was up there in that Alpine Pass, I was dipping my roast beef sandwich into that horseradish and I was enjoying so many things of creation at once, it was fantastic. The point is her kindness, her hospitality made a difference. And then we went to Packwood. Packwood Inn, mark it down, don't go there. Okay, Packwood Inn in Packwood, Washington. We pull up, go in, I walk in, there's two people in there, girl behind the counter. The girl behind the counter and this woman on this side are really going at it. No, I mean they are really going at it. I'm thinking, wow, I don't know if I really want to stay here. And I'm wondering when they're going to stop like bickering at each other so that maybe I could get a key and get in a room and get out of here, you know, so I don't have to listen to this. So finally she goes, Mom, I got to take care of a customer. I'm like, oh, this is how she treats family. This is even worse. When I signed the documents and it says, I had to sign, they didn't give me anything but one key, not a second key, something about the maids took that. It's like, well, that's comforting. The one thing they have on the sign, there's only one thing. It says air-conditioned rooms. We got up to our room, it was very hot. I turned on this tiny little air conditioner and no, it didn't work. It just blew in air from the outside and it was still warm out there. And I'm thinking, I could go down and, no, I am not going down and complaining. I know better than to do that. I mean, I see how she treats her mother. I mean, I'm just a stranger, so I'm gonna get. So we've got the door open doing this and then we've got the air conditioning going and then I open the other window but there's no screen in it so I don't want to leave it open too long because Sasquatch could crawl in. So, and then the guy next door, he's chain smoking right out. Why don't you smoke in your room? Instead he smokes outside the room so it's all just going right into our room. Again, I'm not going to complain. And then I went downstairs later and the office was locked and there's a girl, obviously her daughter, she's like playing games on the computer, like the computer you check in, and then later that night, she's watching a movie in there, and it's locked, you can't get in there. The next morning, two mornings later, we're leaving, just wanting to get out of town. Okay, we had great hiking, but not the best place. I want to return the key, it says key drop. Well, it's just like, there's one in there, I could take it out. So I see a little boy in the office, you know, playing games on the computer. That's the, you know, that's why reservations get lost too. So I go to the door, it's locked, and he goes, we don't open till 3. I've never been to a hotel. I understand you can't check in, you can't enter until 3. Unbelievable. I will never forget the Packwood Inn, and I hope you don't either. I could tell you more stories, but I ran into so many people who were so kind, so nice. On the trail, general courtesy in hiking, if you're going like 5 miles in a year, okay, something like that rate, real slow, let other people pass you. We had this one guy, Craig came back and he said, I've tried twice. His wife has stepped out of the way, but he keeps blocking you no matter what you do. He's not going to let you by. There's people in the mountains that are that way too. You're driving in the mountains, you're right behind them. You're not tailgating, but it's like, obviously, I'm more comfortable with this than you are. Let people by. Let me wrap this up. How do you make people feel? Really, how do you think you make people feel? Folks, I'm no expert. That's why it says practice, practice, practice hospitality. Nobody's got it down. It's like the treadmill. You have to train. I couldn't hike the mountains if I didn't walk the treadmill. First Peter 4:9. I'm going to share two more verses with you and be done. First Peter 4:9. How should we do it? Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. The NLT puts it this way, cheerfully. See, because I think some people are just like, all right, I'll be hospitable. Here's something. Here's something to drink. Here's something to eat. When you're done, leave. 3 o'clock, remember, okay? Unbelievable. we can cheerfully offer hospitality. I think it's all about sharing. Folks, we learned that in kindergarten. That's not the last 40 years. That's way back. Sharing. Acts 28:7. Some of you guys think it's just for women. In Acts chapter 28, verse 2, Luke, and this is the final chapter, and I thought this was fitting, that's why we're closing with. Luke talks about, this is the final chapter that he wrote, because he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then he wrote the 28 chapters that we call the Acts of the Apostles. This was his final chapter, and he got this story in there, and I think it's with intent. He says, when they got shipwrecked, so when everything went wrong in their world, they ended up on the Isle of Malta. And when they're on Malta, in verse 2, it says that they showed unusual kindness. Unusual kindness. And here's what it says in Acts 28:7. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. Now, why did Luke have to record that? Is it really germane to the story? Is it that important? I think what he's saying is at one of our lowest points, God showed us incredible kindness through a complete stranger, and Luke would remember it for the rest of his life. We remember the positive things and the negative things. Folks, it's simple. Sometimes it's as simple as a smile. When I go through McDonald's, and I go through the drive-thru a couple times a week, it's amazing. Some of the folks are just so kind and smiling, it makes a difference. Making eye contact, holding a door. You don't have to kill a fattened calf. It's not likely going to happen. You know, I remember an instance, a negative one, 22 years ago. I was not the interim pastor, but I was the speaking pastor at one of the 5 largest growing churches in the fellowship. I was down at state headquarters. I was there to get a credential so that I would be credentialed to preach more formally. And I met the district superintendent. Never met him before. I'd seen him. I'd been in the room with him. I'll be him. Me right here, shaking hands. I'm eye contact. He's looking around the room, pointing at people. I mean, he kept the one hand here shaking, patting me on the shoulder. Great to see you. He greeted 6 other people while he was supposedly greeting me. 22 years later, I'll never forget that. It told me where I stood with him. It's the simple things of how we treat other people. How will people remember you? I want to challenge you this morning to be an agent of change in your world and to be a host. Let's pray. Father, there are simple things. Smile, eye contact,